You're listening to Our Lifestyle, the podcast brought to you by Custom Car Show Creations, which includes Orange Beach Invasion, Scraping the Coast, Sicknick, and Slamber Party. Make sure you search on Facebook Scraping the Coast, Scraping the Coast Show on Instagram. Also, Sparkles Detail, Till, Tim and Tanya, ODB and the Mayor sent you. We out here. Yo, it's Our Last Time, the podcast. Yes, you already know, it's ODB, Miggity Mike DeMayer, episode 42. What's going down, Mike?
Oh, dude, it's just glad to be back here recording with you. I just want to say thanks for picking up the slack and doing your thing. And, you know, I've missed coming on here with, you know, being on here with you, man. It's good to be back.
Hey, you know it. I will say this. I know I've got some energy going right now, but it's with heavy hearts that a lot of you guys know. You follow us on Instagram, on Facebook. You're on Facebook. Everyone knows the world lost a really, really, really good dude. This episode is really a dedication to Sean Mahaney. It wasn't very long ago that we had him on as a guest. It was a great interview. I really love talking about the history of these trucks that he had his hands in. We're going to talk a little bit more. We've got Ruben, R.A. Ruben from Arizona. He's on this episode. He was actually at the memorial. And I'll say this, Mike, from what I noticed, his wife, Donna, is going to continue the legacy of Sean Co. Wheelchair Company. And to me, I think that's tremendous, dude. So I know she's in a tough spot, but I thought that was great that they're going to keep that going.
No, absolutely, because he's definitely done some great things for some needy people as far as the wheelchairs go. And he definitely, you know, he's done some great things. So it's good to hear that she's going to keep that going. And if you guys didn't listen to that interview with Sean, you know, him and Jay knocked it out of the ballpark, and that was a great interview, and definitely one that you want to go back and you want to listen to again, because it was a good one. It was definitely one of our best, and it was definitely one of our most downloaded podcast that we've put out. So you know, definitely go back and check that out for sure.
That it was. One thing I'll tell everyone is if you look on our Instagram page, you'll see that we posted that caricature of Sean where the wheelchair's on the right. We did tag, someone reached out to me, there, we tagged the person that goes by Elmo Xavier, and I think it's A-V-I-L-A is the last name, but he is like an illustrator. And when you go on SeanMahaney.com, that's SeanMahaney.com, you'll also see that same individual's artwork of this now very epic, famous, a drawing, if you will, of Sean with the glasses, backwards cap, you know, the beard, real deal. A truly great guy. I wish that I could say that I knew him longer, but during the interview, you'll hear more information about really what transpired. The GoFundMe page, which is on the website that I just mentioned. In the short time that I'll say, the one thing that I'll never forget about Sean is he would send me a message and say, hey, you know, do you remember this truck? You know, do you have this issue that has this in there? Or I could shoot him a question about Westside or one of these awesome trucks. Like if I was going to do a post and I wanted to make sure that it was, you know, accurate information, Sean would get back to me. We also kind of exchanged some laughs when he built the wheelchair that Two Chains ended up using. He called in some favors. And he built that wheelchair very quickly. He hand-delivered it. I think it was in Arizona. He stopped. You know, he hooked up with Voglio out there and some of the guys. And then, you know, before we know it, he was in this tragic accident. So I'll say this, you know, life is short. Love, give your loved ones a big hug. It's a crazy world out there, Mike. And
yeah, no doubt, Jay. I mean, just like, you know, when you say that, you never know what's going to, I mean, when he had this accident, where was he on his way to? What was he on his way to go do? He was on his way to go to another charity ride, to help out, you know, to give back, and you know, and this is what happens. And so, like you said, man, you never know. You never know when it's going to be your time. And we definitely lost a good one, that's for sure.
Yes, and I think anyone that knows him, you know, Tim Chestnut in the Mini Truck and Where Are They Now, he and I kind of exchanged some messages back and forth, and he said the same thing about Sean. A lot of people, including myself, never officially met Sean Mahaney. I did shake his hand. I talked to him for a moment at the Mini Truck Hall of Fame, but in all seriousness, like when you think about, he would stop what he was doing. If someone had a question about the truck that he built or that he had his hands in, a couple times I think he even called Gas Monkey Garage to ask him the status of Westside, because there's so much allure to that truck. There's so many others. Radar and I, we exchanged a couple posts on Facebook. We're talking about how he had his hands in so many different builds. But, you know, more about Sean. I don't want to talk about too many details, because I do cover it with Ruben, who was a very, you know, close friend of his, if you will, for the most part. They knew each other for a long time. But Mike,
yeah, who,
you know,
better to talk to than Ruben, right?
exactly. And, you know, before, you know, we'll get this next topic out of the way and then we'll kind of move on, because it is another somber topic. But I know since we last recorded, Mike, and we last put out episode 41, we also had that tragic, tragic Las Vegas massacre, man.
Oh, geez. I mean, you know, it's like you go, and we've been to many concerts, open, closed. And, you know, like, for example, we were talking, you know, we had brought our daughter to Orlando, and we were at Universal Studios, and we were there watching, I don't remember the name of the
New
band.
Kids on the Block.
Well, yeah, that one too. And I think it was 98 Degrees.
Yeah.
But we were there and we were watching, and it was a big open field, and, you know, with thousands and thousands of people. And, you know, that could happen anywhere. That could happen at any time. And you never know. It's an absolute shame that these people, you know, they go there to have a good time and enjoy themselves. And next thing you know, bullets are flying and bodies are, you know, falling. I mean, it was horrible, absolutely horrible. What happened out there. I'm not going to get too much into it, because I still find it hard to believe that one man was responsible for all of it, and responsible for getting everything up there to that 32nd floor, and nobody knew anything. And it just blows my mind. But, you know, it is what it is, and we'll save that for another day. But it's an absolute shame what happened there in Vegas. That's for damn sure.
You know it, Mike. And I'll say this: when, you know, I know a lot of us always say, you know, the world is becoming a crazier place. The world really has been a crazy place. There's no doubt about it. And I recently watched on, I think it was Discovery ID channel, kind of goes into the same topic about the, it was about the Unabomber, you know, Ted Kaczynski. I mean, what a lunatic this guy was. And when you think back to, you know, especially the early 90s when things really got crazy with him, if you get a chance, watch the Discovery show. I mean, the guy was a smart guy, you know, and then he had these crazy thoughts and he started doing these really, you know, horrible things. But the world has been and will continue to be a crazy place. Sure, it seems like it gets a little crazier, because I know the media was able to cover things 24/7. There's cameras everywhere. You know, we all have cell phones. So, like, even with this Las Vegas massacre, you know, you had videos that were coming in. It's just unprecedented access, if you will, to everywhere. So, you know, I will just say this to anyone that was directly or indirectly impacted: definitely our deepest condolences from Our Lifestyle, the podcast. The guy was a monster in all the worst ways. So I just wanted to throw that out there, guys.
Yeah, Jay, definitely a monster. And it just, his brother doesn't seem too much farther away from what he was, just from watching him a couple minutes on the news. So crazy. Keep an eye on that guy too. But, you know, whatever. Let's move on, Jay. Let's move on.
Yep, definitely. So on to some lighter topics. I definitely want to say, again, thanks to Ruben. You'll hear him in a moment. But we got the scene updates, Miggity Mike. And guess what? Kate Simpson. I know you saw what happened. She recently had a feature, man, in Street Trucks. What was up, man? That was awesome, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Hey, but you know what? She'll never forget her first. You know what I'm saying, Jay? She'll never forget her first. And her first trophy she ever received, you know, with that badass truck was from Our Lifestyle, the podcast. And of course, that trophy was made by our boy Doug at Aftermath Designs.
Doug is a crazy guy, isn't he? But I will tell you what, he does some crazy work too.
Yes, he does. He does some killer work, and definitely looking forward to seeing these Slamfest trophies, because he's been sending me pics and sending me videos, and I've been trying to post them up on the Slamfest event page and whatnot to keep everybody posted on the progress. And definitely look forward to seeing these things in person. They look pretty badass.
That they do. And what I'll ask everyone again on Instagram, pick up your phone right now. You're listening, whether you're on Android or iPhone, hit up Instagram, search Aftermath Designs. You'll see it. It's Aftermath_Designs. Boom, right there. One thing I'll say about Doug, he might be crazy, but he's been doing a great job with the social media aspect, with posting videos, showing some of the Slamfest, some of the Forbidden Fantasy, some of the RA type Yeti, whatever you want to call them, tumblers, I guess they're called. So he's doing a great job, man.
Oh, no, he absolutely kills it. And one of our big supporters is also one of Doug's customers. And, you know, we got Slamber Party, you know, we got Sicknick, we got Scraping the Coast, Orange Beach Invasion. You know, they use Doug as well. And, you know, hey, these big shows, these shows know where to go to get their trophies done. And that's definitely with Doug at Aftermath Designs.
Yes. And as I introed with the new recording, this episode is brought to you by Slamber Party. So not only Slamber Party, but also Sparkles Detail. So big ups to Tim and Tanya at sparklesdetail.com, but also Slamber Party, Lumberton, Mississippi, November 3rd through the 5th. Now, if memory serves me correct, that is SEMA week. SEMA typically is going to be, you know, that Tuesday to Thursday-ish, you know, Tuesday to Friday-ish. And that weekend, for anyone that's not going to SEMA, or if you are, make sure you change your plans, come back a little early, and land right there in Mississippi and hit it up, because it's going to be an insane party, I heard.
And that's what Greg says. That's what Greg says. And we definitely look forward to seeing Greg this weekend. You know, down in Tampa, at the Florida State Fairgrounds for Slamfest 26.
Yes, and that was my next subject, Mike, so thank you for that segue. So Slamfest 26, we already know it's coming home to Tampa. We are all stoked. I know you're even stoked because you don't have to drive as far up to Gainesville. So give us one little thing that's on your mind right now relating to Slamfest. Any little tidbit?
What's on my mind about Slamfest?
Just the one nugget, man.
All right, you know, the first thing that pops in my mind when I'm thinking about Slamfest right now is, guys, read. Look through the post, because all those questions that you keep answering or keep asking, it's right there in those posts. I make post after post after post after post. I even made a video the other day, and I'm more than pretty sure the question that you're going to ask has already been answered in that video. But let's go ahead and get those questions out now, and definitely let's get them answered before Friday the 13th, which Friday the 13th,
what?
Which is this Friday.
What?
Yes, baby. Not only are we coming back to Tampa, but we're coming back to Tampa on Friday the 13th.
What? I'm going to get that
vendor
Jason
setup
mask.
Day. Yes. Vendor setup day. Gates are going to open at noon. They're going to close at 8 p.m. So all you inside vehicles, all you inside vendors, all you outside vendors, make sure you're there. Gates are going to open at noon, and let's get you guys all set up. Clubs, you guys want to come out, save your spot, come on out. Let's get you guys your spots reserved. And please reserve only what you're going to use. We got plenty of room out there, so let's make sure that we get out there. We reserve only what you're going to use, and make sure that you guys are back Saturday morning by 10 a.m. and got that space filled. Because if you're not, and there's still a bunch of space that's taped off after 10 a.m., it's going to be taken up. So I've had a lot of questions about that. You don't have to be there Friday, but if you can get out there Friday – we're open. We're going to be out there till 8 p.m. Come out there, get your armbands, get your window stickers. It'll help speed up the process when you come back on Saturday morning. The gates are going to open at 8 a.m. Saturday morning. Spectator gate's going to open at 9 a.m. So make sure you guys come out. You can come out on Friday, come out, say what's up, come save your spot. You can leave your vehicles there overnight. You can leave your trailers. We have plenty of trailer parking. It's all going to be fenced in area where the trailer's going to be parked. So you can leave your trailers there. You don't have to take them back to the hotel. You can leave those there. It doesn't cost you to park the trailers. And, come out, see us on Friday, get your armbands, get your window stickers. It speeds up the process when you come back on Saturday. So that's what's on my mind, Jay. I got a lot on my mind, and it's pretty much right now it's about Slamfest. So I can sit here and talk forever about that right now.
I cannot wait, and I'm telling you, we might have to bring the boxing gloves out, man. I'm telling you, it would be a hit at the show. It's kind of like what I always say. You got Chevy versus Ford, Florida versus Florida State. You got Mike Murray versus ODB. You got airbags
AJ,
versus hydraulics.
AJ,
but I'm telling you,
AJ,
it's
we're never
going to
be versus each other, brother. We're always on the same team. And you are always on the same team, brother.
You know it, and it's going to get crazy. One of these years, I'm telling you, we might have to bring the big boxing gloves out, man. And it's going to be a big no holds barred. Is that how you say it? So it's all good. I'm just joking, because you know what? There's always beef out there, and at any given time, we can cook that beef up right there. So, anyways,
well,
man.
I'm not even going to get started about that whole beef stuff, because I seen a lot of that crap on Facebook. It is what it is.
Get out of here.
It's one man's opinion, and he's allowed to have his opinion. And I say you handle it like grown men, but, if you want to go on Facebook and go back and forth and do all that crap like a bunch of high schoolers, so be it. But, hey, it is what it is. Had nothing to do with me. So ain't gonna affect me, ain't gonna affect you. So let's talk about something else. How's that?
Yeah. I was gonna say, I don't even know which beef we're talking about. I was just kidding around, and all of a sudden we got real beef. No, I'm just kidding. So yeah, real deal. Holyfield Slamfest 26 coming live and direct this weekend. You already know Mike Murray, the whole Mini Madness crew. They're gonna have it on and popping. Next, got a couple of updates. It's been a while. I've been working on the Lincoln. I got the homie Tony Boss Bolin. He actually has a new Instagram, Boss BOLIN, and I've been told, when you're working on Lincolns, it's called finesse. You got to finesse that transmission in there. It worked fantastic. Used the transmission jack, really had everything laid out, took my time, boom, super stoked. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be at Slamfest. There's a lot of stuff still left to do. I got a new gas tank, working on the steering column. Yeah, it may not be at Slamfest, but I've been working on some other stuff. I'm stoked. So I know, Mike, you have been super busy since Hurricane Irma, to say the least, man.
Man, I tell you what, this hurricane, I own a home watch business. And, not only do I have two homes of my own, trying to get that stuff all taken care of, but I have 65 homes that I take care of, and 43 of the 65 had some kind of, damage, done to
Dang.
Them. So it's been one of those things where Mike's been the guy that's been talking to the insurance adjusters. Mike's been the guy, of course, dealing with the customer themselves, trying to get their screen repairs done, the roof done, I've had, places that had flooded, roof leaks, you name it, man. And it's happened. So it's been a busy past 3 weeks, but hey, still here, still kicking. And I'm ready for some Slamfest, man. I'm ready to get away for the weekend and go have a killer time with, all my so are we dipshits or dipsticks? I can't remember. I think that was the beef we were talking about earlier. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Is it beef sticks or beef tips or dipsticks, or I don't remember
I say
what it was, but anyway.
Dipsticks.
Dipsticks? Yeah. All right. So, ready to go hang out with the rest of my dipstick
mini
truck friends.
Whatever. Something.
Whatever it was, for this weekend. So, hey. Can't wait. Just can't wait for this weekend, brother. It's going to be a damn good time, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. Only thing I can say is, if you're listening to this, the Hooters on Highway 60, don't even bother going to those guys. They're too busy. They're not interested in our business. So definitely don't even go and attend or try to get any food at the Hooters. There's a wing house right across the street from the fairgrounds. Go take care of those guys. They were interested in helping us out, hanging up posters and flyers and everything else. And Hooters wanted nothing to do with us, just to throw that out there, guys. So
crazy.
Definitely take care of the wing house. Definitely take care of the wing house. They're busy enough. They don't need our business. So definitely, the place sucks anyway. So don't even bother going there.
That's what's up, man. So the other thing that I've been working on is with the homie Tony Boss Bolin. As I mentioned, he's got that new Instagram finally. He's not really posting shit, but I'm tagging him. Boss Bolin, he picked up a 65 red on red Lincoln from Dallas. I don't know how he keeps finding these. And he had it shipped in, found an awesome shipper. They're actually right out of Oldsmar, and they make two trips a week to Dallas, from Tampa to Dallas, back and forth. So he has all the greatest, you know, best parts he had been collecting for about a year or two. A lot of it was purchased right from deviouscustoms.com. You know, big shout out to Jeff. He's doing big things out there, and he keeps doing it. So more to come on that project. You know, one of our friends that does another podcast does a fantastic job, Ronnie at C10 Talk, really doing some – he kind of sprinkles in some tech podcasts with breaks and things like that. We're thinking about, even though we got no breaks, dog, no breaks here on OLP, we do want to kind of maybe see if there's an appetite, if you will, for that kind of content, whether you own a classy caddy or you got a Link or you got a mini truck. You know, we're everything automotive here. We're not pigeonholed into one sector. So we're going to keep going, and Tony Boss Bolin, we're going to keep that up. But the next thing, Mike, really quick, a few things before I'll talk about tech and then we'll end. But from a sports standpoint, I want to say my wife and I, we watched the end of the Bucks game the other day. And I tell you what, even though I know you're probably not happy they lost, they still hung with the Super Bowl champs.
Jay, you really didn't have to bring that one up, buddy, because number one, we can't make a damn field goal, number one. And number two, our quarterback in the first half was absolutely horrible. Can't hit a damn open wide receiver, overthrows him by a mile, and he keeps forcing the ball to DeSean Jackson. I wish that guy would just shut up and play football and quit whining and crying about not getting the football enough. it blows, because now he's trying to force the ball to him. And Doug Martin looked great on his, you know, coming back from his suspension. And yet we still want to give the ball to that, you know, little 5'6" midget, you know, Rodgers.
Dang.
So, you know, it's like, guys, come on, get your heads out of your asses. We should have won that game, and not even the fact of winning the game, but we played like crap. So as far as offense it goes, our defense didn't play too bad, but our offense definitely we got to get a lot better, and we got to get more consistent. But with that being said, Jay, I just finished watching your Packers, man, and shit. Now, Aaron Rodgers is the freaking man, and I just hope one day that our quarterback could be half as good as Aaron Rodgers, because that guy is something else. He's unbelievable. Seems to make all the right decisions at all the right times, and no matter how many times he gets sacked or, you know, flustered out of the, you know, out of the pocket, he still – the throws are like right there, and he runs when he's supposed to run, gets the first downs. Our quarterback is Jameis is young, so he's still got time, but he's got to get more consistent, man. Got to get more consistent.
Well, and I think that it helps that obviously Rodgers, you know, he played behind Favre for so many years, and you know, we're all thinking, man, Favre was the man. I loved watching Favre, but then when, you know, you got 3 years on the bench kind of riding, and you understand, and, you know, you're learning these concepts. And I think that helped. What I'll say is I didn't get a chance to watch much of the game. I was out in the shop working on my car, you know, really hustling, hashtag Slamfest Crunch. However, once I got in, my wife, you know, set me up. We went up to Beef's real quick to get some wings and whatnot. And I turned it on in the car, and I'm listening, and I'm like, wow. So then I thought they stopped them. They had the review. It turns out Dallas did get the first down. By the time I walked in the door, boom, Dallas scores a TD. And I'm like, man, I look at the clock, and it was like about 1:13 left.
1:13 exactly, sir.
And,
yep.
and I was like, you know, even though Longwell typically doesn't have a bad game, kind of had a bad game. So I'm thinking, okay, Can they get him in field goal range? And I'm like, wait a minute, this is Aaron Rodgers. A minute and 13, that's like a 5-minute drive, you know, for some quarterbacks. So I was happy that they won. I think the reason why I like to see Dallas lose, and I mean, I'm not, you know, not trying to hate on any Dallas fans, is ESPN, your boy, Stephen Smith, right?
Oh, jeez. Stephen A. Smith.
He was already tweeting, how about them Cowboys? And he's a crazy guy. He brings in the ratings. You know, I can't say I'm a huge fan of his. He's a 49-year-old dude.
He's got an opinion, and he is not afraid to express it. That's for damn sure.
Exactly. So tomorrow, it's going to be on. And, man, he loves just to put the salt in the wounds, man. I tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
So last thing, and then we're going to conclude here. We're going to roll in to the Sean Mahaney tribute with Ruben from RA. I definitely want to say a couple quick tech items. So iOS 11, of course, that rolled out. Apple has released a couple of fixes, the .0.1 and the .0.2. Those are kind of minor fixes. They also have the 11.1, which is in the public beta at this point. Doesn't really look like there's a lot of new stuff, but we'll have to kind of wait and see if they add anything in. There's definitely new emoji coming. We know that for anyone that follows the consortium. For the emoji, so I'd love to have that job. Just, I'll approve that emoji. Slamfest emoji, boom, check. You know what I mean? So, boom.
Get it done, Jay. Get it done.
I'm telling you, we need an emoji for Slamfest. We need one for Slamber Party, and we need one for Sparkles Detail. Boom. Those three. Everything else is no, a no. In the no pile. So,
well, don't worry, because after next month, we're going to need one for Orange Beach Invasion, and then we're going to need one after that. We're going to need one for Sicknick. I'm sorry, for Scraping the Coast, and then Sicknick. So might as well just throw them all in there now.
Yes, that's what we need right there. We need to start developing right now. I love it.
Yes, sir.
The last couple tech updates. So Nest, which, by the way, for those scoring at home, they're owned by Google. They introduced some new products, like a smart doorbell. I think that whole segment's going to continue to become bigger, you know, some new cameras. Google announced the Pixel 2 and the Pixel XL 2. So I'm going to do a future review on these awesome Google devices. And I did read just recently that AOL Messenger is finally going away, I think at the end of the year, after a 20-year run. Remember that You've Got Mail company, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
So AOL Instant Messenger is going bye-bye. I do want to say, with Friday the 13th coming up, we know our homegirl Morgan over at Vyair. She always shares that epic photo of the C10 and the guy hanging out with the Jason mask and the machete. So we're going to share that one. That's a great Friday the 13th. I think one of the best truck Friday the 13th photos I've seen. I know we've got a creative OLP Nation, OLP crew, Airhead Nation. We, you know, you guys are out there. So think of something creative for Friday the 13th, truck related or car related, and post it, tag us, and then we may reshare that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully it's done at Slamfest while you are getting all set up and ready to go on Friday the 13th for Slamfest, October 14th and 15th.
That's what's up.
Florida.
I may have to go in and reshare some of those, definitely on the podcast page. And I know Mike likes to do that when he has time, which he hasn't had a lot lately, relating to the Slamfest page that he manages. So in closing, again, Sean Mahaney, rest in peace, homie. Also, for all the folks impacted by Las Vegas massacre, definitely, you know, hug your loved ones. Stay close to them. Also, grinder-tv.com. Make sure you go out and follow them on YouTube as well. Buy some swag. Got Low Life Mikey. I purchased a hat recently, and he sent me a shirt, so thank you so much. Make sure you go out on YouTube and type in Low Life Show. There's a lot more content coming. Also, as Mike mentioned, Scraping the Coast, Sparkles Detail, Vyair, again, thank you for what you guys do. And then our friends over at All Time Low Magazine, they just keep churning out badass shit.
Yes, sir. And definitely look for All Time Low Magazine this coming up weekend at Slamfest, because All Time Low Magazine is going to be sponsoring the cornhole tournament. It's going to be happening Saturday, October 14th, in front of the main stage at Slamfest.
That's what's up, dude. I'm telling you what. And we got the reigning champs from down south. I may have to get in on it. I'm usually running around taking photos. Mike's handling the whole show aspect. But I'm sure we'll get over there and we'll toss a couple of the corn bags and have a damn good time, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Airhead Nation, with that being said, ODB, the mayor, we out. See ya.
Peace. Yo, 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 yo. It's Our Lifestyle, the podcast, episode 42. Yes, you already know. And as I introed with this episode, this is an episode that we're going to talk a lot about Sean Mahaney. But first, before we kind of talk about Sean, I wanted to welcome Ruben from Arizona, Relaxed Atmosphere, back to the podcast. Ruben, we definitely appreciate your time, homie.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it. Now, for those that have listened to all the episodes, we had Ruben on prior, and we've slapped hands with Ruben out at SEMA. Great dude. What I wanted to kind of start with is, I know it's been a crazy past few weeks in the world. You know, we've had the Las Vegas, the tragic shooting there. You know, before we jump in and talk about, you know, the Sean Mahaney situation, if you will, the tragic accident, you know, he recently passed away. I kind of wanted to just check with you, Ruben, and see, like, you know, how's it going in your world right now?
My world's always hectic. We recently moved. So with everything that going on in our lives and stuff, we're just, you know, trying to get back to normal. But we're good. Regardless, we're good.
Good, man. Well, that's great. You just keep on keeping on, like, you know, that's all we can do. You know what I mean? But I also wanted to check and see, you know, how the wife and how the job's going too, man.
Oh, well, I'm always busy, you know, with work. I'm hustling, trying to make a buck, you know, and she's doing good. My son's doing good. All the horses are doing well. My projects are doing well, slowly but surely. But, you know, we're just actually just waiting here for another 30 days or so to be in Las Vegas. Even as crazy as that sounds, most people are kind of second guessing that. I'm not. We're definitely going.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And your son's getting big. My son's getting ready to turn 12 in about, I don't know, a couple weeks. What's crazy to me is I told my wife that this is his last birthday before he becomes a teenager next year. And that, it, to me, is mind blowing, Ruben.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my son just turned 11 in August, and it's like I have a young adult, especially in this day and age that we live in, you know, with the kids more savvy on the computer, on the iPad than I am.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so cool to, you know, to have, you know, when I had him, he was, you know, I considered myself young, but yet I was 40 years old and never been around kids. First little kid I ever, you know, change the diaper on, and now here he is, you know, we're cruising around in the truck, bumping music, and, you know, he tells me about what he likes in music, and he asks me what I like in music, and same with cars and trucks, and, you know, definitely 11 going on 30.
Definitely. I like how you summed that up. What's interesting is I'm a Spotify user, and my son, you know, we have, like, the family account, and he'll play music that he likes, and it's a lot of, like, electronic dance music, believe it or not. And the other day, we stumbled upon, there were some promotions around that whole new Michael Jackson album that came out, but that Steve, I'm probably going to butcher his last name, you know, he makes a lot of Anoki, I'm probably saying it wrong, but he makes a lot of the EDM music and stuff. And it's really, as you mentioned, it's interesting to connect with, like, a young child, you know, that's younger than we are, you know, as far as likes, you know?
Right, it really is, because when I had him out here this past summer, we did a lot of little traveling, you know, one-day trips here and there to Tucson or up to Flagstaff, and he was constantly either on my phone or on Sheree's phone playing music that he likes. And not only did he do that, but we were out driving somewhere, and I was like, he was on my Spotify, and I said, make me a playlist. And, you know, he named it, good music. You know, and he listens to a lot of, you know, he listens to a lot of trap music, a lot of 2 Chainz.
Yes.
You know, a little Uzi Vert, you know, the newer stuff. And you know, I believe it or not, that's the type of music that I listen to when I'm out with the horses, whether they're out or they're mine or others. And it's, you know, it's kind of, I sometimes think, man, if you guys knew what I was listening to, you'd probably fire me, you know? So we share a lot of the same, I guess, a lot of the same musical taste.
Yeah, it is crazy. And the last thought that I had on this was, when I think back, I recently found some of my old tape cassettes at my parents' house, and I thought that I had more, but the ones, you know, is a small stash. And when I think back to when I was in middle school, which my son is in now, back in the early 90s, you know, we were trying to get our hands on, that was when like the parental advisory started to become bigger on the tapes, and you couldn't, you know, you weren't supposed to be able to be, you know, under 18 to go into a record store or tape store or music store and buy stuff. So it's funny for me to look back at some of like the Public Enemy, Fear of a Black Planet, and the MC8, you know, Boys in the Hood track and stuff. And I have these, you know, these tapes, and I'm thinking, gosh, man, it's crazy how times have changed, because to your point, it's all on Spotify, it's digital, it's streaming, Apple Music, things like that. So the world has definitely changed, man.
Yeah, sure it has. I mean, when I was growing up, listened to a lot of heavy metal, a lot of what they call now hair metal stuff. Yeah. And I mean, that's what was, you know, popular when I was in junior high and high school. And then my biggest thing, the people that I hung out with, we would always look for live recordings of whatever band that we liked at the time.
Yes.
And we would get like these cassettes, a bootleg cassette of somebody at a club or a live concert. I mean, and that's what we were going for. And a lot of that stuff now, you could find it on YouTube or on other sites.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy. And I remember a few years ago, someone was telling me about that, how there was, you know, the internet was still blowing up, but it was like, hey, there were all these different sites where you could go. If you were like a ZZ Top fan, you could go out and buy, like, you know, it was X night at some, you know, some
right,
you know, venue, if you will. So I know that that's really big, especially for hardcore artists. So definitely.
Right. And there, I can't remember the name of the site, but there is a site out there that pretty much any kind of live recording that's ever been taped, you could find it on there. And I've been on there a few times, and I've found some stuff.
Yeah. And you can trade, like, if somebody's like, oh, because I remember hearing a story, I was pretty young, but like right before Nirvana really blew up, they played in Ybor City in Tampa. And that was back when, you know, Ybor would get bigger bands and things like that. It's kind of changed now, but Nirvana was there. Just like I saw Eminem in Tampa, I think it was like 2000, 99 or 2000, I saw him at Janus Landing.
Wow.
And it was right, you know, and I think back and I'm like, well, that, you know, he was already kind of big, but it was right before he really blew up. But to your point, it's like somebody may have been at that Nirvana show and they taped it, right? And that was like, you know, a little bit more raw or hardcore than, you know, the album was. So like somebody wants it. So definitely, man, music transcends all different colors of skin and genres, man. It's rad, bro.
Oh, it definitely does. It definitely does.
Yeah, so good stuff. Now, as we transition, the title of this episode is really a Sean Mahaney tribute. Sean was an innovator in the mini truck scene, and, you know, he had transitioned into helping disabled people with the Sean Co. Now, I, and most of our listeners know this, but, you know, Sean recently passed away, and that's what we're going to talk about. I was stunned, to say the least, when I read on Facebook that he was, you know, in a motorcycle accident. You know, you knew Sean pretty well. What was going through your mind when you heard the news, Ruben?
We were here at home unpacking from our move, and a very good friend of mine that lives in Long Beach still, Eric Musgrove, and someone that I've known as well, probably a little longer than I've known Sean.
Mm-hmm.
He IM'd me on Facebook. He's like, hey, did you hear about Sean? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And Sean was killed in a motorcycle accident. And so going back and forth with him, you know, on the same time I got on my phone and I got on Facebook, and all of a sudden everything, every post was about Sean. And, kind of surreal, kind of sad. I mean, I just, you know, the emotions just went through me, and I right away I called Mike Sharitzis and I told him, and he hadn't seen it or heard about it. We talked about it, and right away he said, he mentioned to me, well, you know, when the memorial comes, we'll need to plan a trip out there. And, you know, it was just, I still don't believe it. You know, we were there at his memorial, and I was just waiting for that guy to come around in his dirty work clothes and, hey, what's everybody doing? You know, it's just surreal.
It is, man. And like, I just have goosebumps right now, because when I think of, you know, sometimes in these tragic events, you know, we've had a lot of natural disasters, but when you think of, and we'll get into kind of some of the specifics, but when you think of this accident that he was in, I didn't know Sean very well. I kind of got to know him over the past, I don't know, 6 months or a year, by kind of saying, hey, you know, let's get you on, that type of thing. But I try to always say, you know, why does this happen? And, you know, we don't know the answer, but I try to think sometimes, like, is there a meaning behind it? And you know, I just can't come up with anything. And I just feel, you know, so bad for his family. And it's just a tragic thing. It's crazy, because the one thing that I'll say out of it is it puts it into perspective. A lot of us say, you know, you got to kiss your loved ones, hug them. You know, it could, you know, you never know, right? And that's, you know, every day we kind of get up and, you know, the sun comes up and we go to work and we do our things. But life just goes, you know, you get into these rhythms. And then when something like right. this happens, it's like eye-opening, and you go, oh, my gosh. It really, I mean, any day, any minute could be our last on Earth. So, I'm in total shock, man.
I am, too. I mean, every day is a gift, and when you wake up that morning, it doesn't guarantee you're going to go to bed that night or get up the following morning. And, you know, when it's one thing if I've had loved ones die of disease and, you know, whatnot, and you kind of know it's coming, but an accident like this, you know, and it's someone as young as he was. I mean, he wasn't a young guy, but he wasn't an old guy. I mean, exactly. He was just in the prime of his life, you know, and
exactly. And when I had posted, I forget if it was on, you know, if it was on Facebook somewhere, but Radar commented on the post, and you know, we kind of exchanged a couple of comments back and forth, and it's really true. When you look at his contributions, you know, to the mini truck scene, and you think of Trend Centers and MIC and West Coast Customs, and then the transition into Seanco, he really did so much in his life, and we'll talk more about it, but 47 years, he accomplished a lot, and I'm just glad that I got to know him a little bit. I mean, it was a drop in the bucket, but I tell you what, man, he was a good dude.
He was a very, very good dude. I mean, you know, people say that you have these certain friends that you can go time without seeing them, months, years, whatever. And when you see that person the next time, it's like you just pick up where you left off. And to me, he was that friend. I mean, there were times there where no matter through the years, no matter if he was doing his own thing or working for someone, or, you know, as if I needed a favor, if I needed help on something, I could call him and, do this. And I know a lot of other guys lately that would message him and talk to him, and he would always be there for him. And, you know, whether it was at a shop or when he was working at West Coast Customs, if I had friends out of town and they wanted to go see the shop, I'd call Sean. Or at SEMA, you know, they would be doing the West Coast Experience, and, you know, I'd get bored of walking around. I'd go see what Sean was doing, and he'd lift up that velvet rope and, come on, dude, come in here. Yes. And, you know, they'd be working on something. That's just the type of person he was. He's a very, very good person.
Just a humble guy. And it's
very humble.
I'm getting deja vu, because when we had you on before, we talked a little bit about, and since I had you on, someone gave me an idea, and I went on eBay and I bought Sean Carlson. I bought the little Hot Wheel car. I got a good deal on one. And, you know, you were kind of saying some of the similar things. It's amazing about, like, Sean Carlson. And I thought the other day, and I was like, you know, we lost a couple mini truckers this year. And whether it's mini trucks or not, it's automotive, it's an entire culture that we're a part of. It's just, it's just one of those things that we know that it's going to continue to happen, but something that's very tragic like this is sad. And, you know, I wanted to kind of remain transparent and be clear to everyone because this information's out there. I mean, many of you know this, and we'll talk with Ruben about it, but Sean was on his motorcycle and he was hit by a semi-truck driver. There is a $25,000 reward that would lead for any information. When you go on SeanMahaney.com, it's S-E-A-N and then M-A-H-A-N-E-Y.com. There's some information there about the accident, where it was exactly at, you know, on this intersection. You know, the suspect was a white semi-truck driver. The suspect first sideswiped Sean, and I kind of won't get into some of the other details, but it's bullet pointed out there. The suspect did flee, and obviously with the truck drivers, you know, sometimes going, you know, across states and things like that, you just never know where the person's from. And but I just wanted to see, like, if there was anything else you wanted to share relating to the tragic accident, Ruben.
It's a tragedy, and for someone, you know, anyone to be on those particular freeways in Los Angeles at that particular time of day, I mean, you're really, you know, there's people out there that, mm-hmm. You know, you're on a motorcycle, but they're in a car, and you get that sense of security in that car. But when you're on that motorcycle, I mean, you know, you drive defensively, and I'm not a big fan of motorcycles. I've lost a lot of friends on them. The friend that Jacob, my son, I named him after a very, very good friend of mine when I was coming up that was killed on a motorcycle. So I've never been a fan of them, especially the street bikes and whatnot, or the Harleys. And he was a good rider. You know, he was comfortable in what he would do, what he was doing, but, you know, you always got to watch out for those other people if you're going to be on a bike, you know, and it's whatever that truck driver was doing, you know, or if he didn't see him or he didn't know, I mean, someone out there on that freeway at that time of day
had to have seen something,
you know, and hopefully it's a matter of time before they find that person comes up. You know,
yes.
It's just a tragedy.
Yes, and there was someone that I had worked with, and it's kind of this whole, I could almost do a whole episode on it, but it was kind of a similar but different situation. This lady I worked with, Dana, her sister was killed by a truck driver, but the truck driver, it was like in this small ho-dunk town in Florida. We're really kind of old school 50s, you know, Mayville type deal. But I'll just kind of say this. The truck driver was charged and went to prison, which was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the lady I work with, Dana, this is the whole spin. It could be a dateline almost. And I think there were different news sources that picked this up. This was years ago. She actually fought to get the guy out because they basically made the truck driver look like, you know, he was negligent. Like, you know, it was before, like, cell phones were really big, but they were saying, oh, this guy was doing this. But he really wasn't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not, you know, I'm just bringing that up because there are tragic events that happen all over. It's just, to me, you know, I've never driven an 18-wheeler and things like that. It's mind-boggling to me that someone, especially, you know, those truck drivers get a lot of training. One of our good friends, Roro, he's driven a truck for almost 20 years with Publix. I mean, those guys know when something happens.
You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when that, I've never driven a truck that big, but I've driven trucks with gooseneck trailers full of horses. And you run over something or something's not right, you're going to sense it, you know, so.
Exactly.
You know, I pray that and I'm sure within time there'll be some news that they found the guy or the truck or both, and I'm sure there'll be some closure for this.
For sure, man. Well, you know, to transition, Sean is survived by his wife and children. We briefly discussed when he was on, when we had him on the show, we talked about his wife. I believe her name's Donna, right?
Right.
And then, you know, the one thing that I'll say is, at least from the Facebook posts, and again, I'm not, you know, I don't know his wife. She seemed to be very, very strong. You know, they kind of jumped right in the saddle to begin posting from Sean Coe and things like that. And, you know, what I'll say is, if whether they listen to this podcast episode or not, you know, I made a comment to Donna. I said, hey, if you ever want to come on here and share anything as far as what the company's, you know, going to do in terms of helping people and things like that, right, into the future, you know, they're welcome. They've got a VIP pass, whatever they need. But if you go on the website that I mentioned, SeanMahaney.com, it links out to Legacy.com. And that, you know, reinforces the details of Sean. Of course, he was born on April 17th, 1970. He passed on September 23rd, 2017. So 47 years old. Now, Ruben, you were able to attend the memorial service. You know, you don't have to give too much detail. I know that you rolled over there, as you mentioned earlier, I think when we were talking with Mike Schartzis, one of your old friends. What was it like? You know, I'm sure there were a lot of people there, man.
Yeah, we drove out. Mike lives in Tucson, so he rolled out here, and then we left early Saturday morning, and we stayed with actually Tom Wright, which is the guy that started Trendsetters with Sean, and that happened to be Mike Schartz's neighbor as a kid growing up.
Wow.
And we spent the night, yeah, talk about a little small world. We spent the night there at his home, and following morning, early Sunday morning, we drove out to Tehachapi. And I will say this, it's kind of funny how, you know, looking at, you know, there were mini truckers, there were bikers, there were lowriders, and then you had even par audio people, and there were even, you know, of course, people in wheelchairs and, you know, people he built wheelchairs for. And Sean had this talent, you know, not only of building things, but bringing people together. And it didn't matter what color skin you had or where you were from, if you were in the cars or something with the motor and wheels, you know, Sean wanted to be your friend. And, you know, that was truly what I got out of going, you know, all these different aspects, you know, he brought people together. And right before we were leaving, we were standing there talking, and this young man rolled up in his wheelchair.
Okay.
And we started talking to him, and his name was Cole. And it was a motorized wheelchair that Sean had built for him. And, you know, I was looking at this thing, and he had scrapes on it, and it was dinged up as pretty as those things are, the way he made them. He wanted people to use them. And this guy used his wheelchair, and, you know, he said, you know, Sean told him, you know, you better use it. I want to see scratches on it. If you break it, I'll fix it for you. And you know, the young man, you know, he did what Sean built that thing for. And his father came over and had asked me, you know, so how did you know Sean? And I started telling him my story, and he started telling his, how, you know, they found Sean, they built him this wheelchair, and custom to what he needed. And of course, because of, you know, the reason why Sean started Seanco, because the equipment out there, it really wasn't, you know, it was built as a one-size-fits-all, and of course you can't, for people with special needs, you really can't do that. And It was, I gotta say, that was probably, you know, besides going there, of course, but meeting with that young man and talking to him and, you know, just sharing stories and stuff, I mean, it just clicked. That was Sean bringing people together, like what he would do. You know, and I remember being at his shop in Whittier when he was doing CNC hydraulics. You know, a couple of the other guys that he would do hydraulics where I had my Toyota there, and he was working on it. And, you know, yeah, you know, let me call so-and-so. He'll come over. And pretty soon there was this whole car club of people. And, you know, really, that was Sean bringing people together.
I'm telling you. And speaking of that, well, two things. One, if you go on Sean Co, SeanCo, wheelchairs.com altogether, you'll see a lot of, and there's an Instagram page, you'll see a lot of these photos that of the wheelchairs that he built. And to Ruben, to your point, it's amazing. Like when we had Sean on and he was talking about the extreme sports, I mean, I'm blown away. I mean, you could almost imagine the Olympics in the future. You're going to see guys in half pipes with the stuff that they're doing. It's mind blowing. But when you also look at SeanMahaney.com, which is live, there's info about that 11-12, so November 12th event. It's going to be a first annual Sean Coe Strong event. And to me, that's what, you know, sometimes you think when someone passes away, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, well, you know, I went out there and played that football game because I knew that, you know, Brett Favre said, I knew my dad would want me to, you know, go play the game, right? Well, I think Sean, with this event that his family and you know, I'm sure some close friends, you know, they're working to put this event on out there. Sean's probably looking down going, boom. You know, it was tragic, but this is what I would want you guys to do. Everybody go out, support this event, and, you know, bring people together. And, you know, it's a first annual event, and like I mentioned, it's $20 to show. It's open to anything. And it's what Sean did, and I'm sure it's what Sean would have wanted.
Yeah, we actually, on the way home, we stopped at that place and had dinner, and I will tell you right now, they are going to pack that parking lot.
Yeah, good. It looks like it's Route 66 Grill, and it says open to anything custom, $20 to show. Of course, spectators free, lots of raffle, live music. All the proceeds will go to the Mahaney family. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention is on that same site, when you're looking at the information in the upper right corner, there's a GoFundMe. And I'm a big supporter of GoFundMe pages that are for situations like this. It's for something that's tragic that happens and things such as that. And by all means, I'm going to go out. I'm going to donate some money. What I would ask for everyone, whether you can donate $1, $5, $10, whatever you can. And I mentioned this recently with the whole hurricane in Houston. You know, definitely just go out and support, because I will tell you this, you know, Sean was putting, and I mentioned this in one of my posts, he was putting product before profits. You know, Sean mentioned a little bit on the podcast where we had him on, but he also kind of told me on the side that, hey, I'm not making a lot of money when it comes to these wheelchairs. I'm doing it. I'm trying to get my price point right where I can make a little bit, but it's by all means. I mean, he could be making a lot more if he's building trucks. So he was, you know, really helping people.
You don't just picture where Sean was at. He was pretty much a reality TV star. He could have rode that all the way to the bank, but you know what? He chose not to. You know, he chose to go off and do something for others, and you know that's how he was. You know, he was a special guy. You know, not too many people would turn down the opportunity that he had to, you know, pretty much go work out of his garage, you know, doing something for others, you know, and not want him, you know, not want to get rich off of it, you know. And I had talked to him about that, and he said, yeah, I'm not in it for the money. He goes, I built that first chair for my stepdaughter, and, you know, then that, you know, a couple other people came to me and said, hey, you know, could you? And yeah, I'll give it a whirl. And, you know, that's the type of person. He had this talent of picturing things in his mind and translating those with his hands. And he was good at it. No matter how crazy he would tell you, oh, yeah, well, you know, we should do this or we should do that. And you'd look at him like, dude, you can't do that. And he would sit there and work at it until he figured it out. And it was to his liking, to his specifications. And like I said, he just had that. He had that talent.
For sure. And knowing, like, for instance, you live in Arizona, when you started saying that, what came to mind was Pat Tillman. You know, he was an NFL player that left the NFL to go fight for a good cause that he felt at the time. He went overseas and he was killed in Afghanistan in 2004. And, you know, there's different parallels there. You know, when you mentioned the reality star, and then you mentioned, you know, I mentioned Pat Tillman. Both of these guys had similar situations. You know, they could have really carried their careers further on, but they chose to do different things to help people. And you don't run across people like that, in my opinion, very often in life. So definitely that's why you got to go out to SeanMahaney.com, click on the GoFundMe, and give something, if it's $5 or whatnot. Or If you don't want to do the GoFundMe, go on SeanMahaney.com and you can click and you can purchase a shirt. Purchase a shirt. I think there's bandana there as well. I'm sure there's going to be more that will come, but this is going to help the family. This is from what I saw in one of Donna's posts. They're going to continue the legacy of Sean Co. She's like, hey, we are not stopping. Sean would not have wanted us to stop. So obviously there's got to be some things that they're thinking through on how can we continue this legacy. And I think it could be even a bigger thing. So that's why we want to support these folks, man. The other thing,
yeah,
too,
most definitely.
Yeah, for sure, for Ruben. So I know the West Coast Influence, which, you know, Radar and those guys really made and kind of put out. It's a great DVD. And would you agree that for anybody that didn't know Sean or wants to hear Sean speak, you can listen to him on a prior podcast, but go out and buy that West Coast Influence DVD. Wouldn't you agree, man?
I would. And I mean, that gives you a really, really good insight of who Sean was through that DVD. And, you know, the guy was, I can't say anything negative about him. I mean, he was my friend. He was a positive influence and just the things that he would do for other people. You know, I can't get past that. I mean, I can't tell you guys enough. I mean, you know, this guy had talent and he chose to do good for others. And not a lot of people will do that.
That's it, man. Well, that's definitely a mic drop moment right there. I tell you, in my opinion, if you go on minitruckfilm.com and, you know, they're not a sponsor of the show, but we endorse what they do. It's fantastic. You'll go and you'll see the West Coast Influence DVD. It's $25, nearly 40 years. Mini Trucking Culture has grown. You'll see Sean on there. It's definitely one to add to your mantle or wherever you keep your DVDs. It's a great one to have. But, you know, Ruben, we spent a little bit of time talking about Sean. I did kind of an intro that's going to be on this episode. I wanted to say thank you for your time and thank you for the continued support. You're an OGRA guy, and I know that we've linked up often in texts and on Instagram, at SEMA, a couple of podcasts. But is there anything else that you wanted to share with the listeners, homie?
Actually, one other thing. Yesterday, count the anniversary of Sean Carlson passing, and you know, that's another individual right there that we lost that are, you know, way too early. And a lot of the good that I saw in Sean, I also saw in Sean Mahaney. And it's just so sad to see people like that taken so early.
For sure, man. And I'm glad that you brought that up, Ruben, because if you go out and if you search on Instagram, it's Ruben, correct me if I'm wrong, A-R-T-E-G-A. And if you search for Ruben on there, you'll see, I believe it was yesterday or today, I think I saw it this morning, that you had posted that the image of Sean Carlson. And it kind of, and I'm glad you brought it up because it rang a bell. I was like, wait a minute, was this the day? So yesterday, wow, that's just...
Yeah, it was yesterday, actually, yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah, so.
And it's the _RA_Ruben, and you'll see that famous triple line, that RA logo deal, and then you'll see Ruben... A-R-T-E-A-G-A, right? I just want to make sure I got it right.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right, cool. You got it right.
Okay, cool, thanks. But yeah, Sean Carlson, when that post, you'll see that out there, RIP 1974 to 2009. It's amazing. And what I would sum it all up to mini truckers, enthusiasts, whoever's listening to this podcast, man, your time is limited. And, you know, there's an awesome Steve Jobs quote. And what was crazy is I think today or yesterday was the anniversary of his passing. It's crazy how these things, right, are tying together. But he spoke at, I want to say it was Stanford, and he has that famous commencement speech, I think it's called, where he talks about, hey, your time is limited. Don't waste it. And it's true. You know, whatever you want to do in life, get out there and do it. You know, take the bull by its horns, you know, 0 to 100, whatever you want to call it. Do what you can do. Support your family. Because, man, you just never know. So, you know.
One other thing. I mean, I can't hang up without saying this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, thoughts and prayers to what happened in Las Vegas on Sunday night. And, you know, again, you know, those people were out to have a good time. and look what happened there. I mean, you just never know in life.
It's true, and I'm glad that you said it, because I can sum it up and say, listen, you know, we don't know the full extent of that crazy lunatic, I'll call him, but it just goes to show you, I mean, even someone like himself that I think was retired, he had a lofty financial, income as far as, what was in his bank account, as far as what I've heard. It's just, I mean, you never know how life's going to end. And it was really sad on the news to see like some of those stories of the people in Vegas, one's a teacher, one's, got three kids, another person's, getting ready for their wedding, planning and stuff. And to your point, they were out to have a good time and something tragic happened. So definitely good tie in there, Ruben.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, you just don't never know about stuff,
You don't, man. Well, I'll say this, wish the best to you, your wife, your son. Keep doing your thing. I hope to see you very soon. I'm kind of, moving some plans around a couple things. I'd love to make it out to Dino's Get Down in Phoenix. I was talking to Joe, Severed Joe. We've had him on before. I talked to him a little bit today. So going to kind of see how that, if all the ducks align, all the planets align, as my pops would say. But thank you so much again, Ruben. Anything you ever need, vice versa, I know we can always reach out to you, homie. You got our back. We got yours, man.
Ben. You know it.
Boom. You have a great night, and we at you.
How long will they move it? Yeah. It's for my nigga Kato. It's still on, nigga. We got thug life. Thugs for life. How long will they shit for the guap? Yeah, nigga. Tupac and this motherfucker. All my homies drinking liquor. Tears in everybody's eyes. Niggas cried to mourn the homies' homicide. But I can't cry. Instead of just a shoulder. Damn, why they take another soldier? I load my clip, I know my eyes blurry. Don't worry, I get them suckers back before you bury. Shit. Retaliating full of 187. Two real niggas get to go to heaven. How long will they mourn me? Bury me a motherfucking G. Bitch, don't wanna die, then don't fuck with me. It's kinda hard to be optimistic when your homies lying dead on the pavement twisted. Y'all don't hear me though. I'm trying hard to make amends, but I'm losing all my motherfucking friends. Damn, it should've shot me when I was born. Now I'm trapped in the motherfucking storm. How long will they move me?
I wish it would've been another.
How long will they move me?
How long will they move
me? After niggas all dead and shit. How long will they move me?
I wish it would've been another.
Day, homie, you stayed down when the other niggas didn't know me. From my heart to the trigger, you my fucking nigga. And things won't be the same without you, nigga. I remember kicking back, you wanted a lack. And going half on a motherfucking honey sack. Smoking blunt after blunt and steady drinking. Hung around so much, you knew what I was thinking. Tell me, Lord, why you take Big Kato? So confused, not knowing which way to go. I'm going crazy and running out of fucking time. I can't take it, I'm losing my fucking mind. So day after day, ride after ride, we'll hook up on the other side. Watch over your family and your newborn till we meet again, homie. How long will they mourn me?
A nigga tired of feelings, said I'm tired of putting in work. I'm tired of crying, watch my homies lead the earth. I know soon one day I'll be in the dirt and my peoples will be mourning when they get a call from the quarters. All niggas can say is that's fucked up and get tossed up. Reminiscing how we grew up. Rest in love to my nigga Kato. See you in the crossroads real soon. For now, let me pull out some proof. I'll be always thinking of your homie. Rest in peace.
How long will they mourn me?
Like a fucking trip and everybody gotta go. But why the fuck it had to be my nigga Kato? Another nigga fell victim to the chrome. It's enough to make it crazy. It's fucking with my dome. You only live once. Soon as up a nigga had it bad. Since the day of my motherfucking birth. My niggas say they down and they always be my homie. But when a nigga gone, how long will you mourn me?
Yeah.
I wish it would've been
Mac 10 and this motherfucker. Yeah. How long will you mourn me?
Nate Dogg, do that shit, nigga. Yeah, how long will you move me? It's for my nigga Kato and all his kids.